Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Well, there was Gluttonous, Augustus Gloop. She got stuck into a pipe in the fudge room after falling into the chocolate river. There was Spoiled Veruca Salt, and her parents got thrown into a garbage chute after she tried to capture one of the nut-testing squirrels. There was chewing gum addicted Violet Beauregard, who blows up into a giant blueberry after chewing gum experiment went wrong. And there was television addict Mike TV, who gets shrunk down to the size of a chocolate bar after misusing a Wonka Vision TV show, despite warnings causing him to be sent by television. They had all received an invitation with the golden ticket. Do you know the story? I dug it out from our kids' library, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. What a great story. What a great movie, not always true to the book. What a great story. Can you imagine a lifetime's, kids, where are they gone? We should have left them in. A lifetime supply of chocolate. Like, imagine. And so they went crazy looking for these tickets, buying up chocolates, and five lucky kids got the chance to tour the Wonka factory and the promised guarantee of a lifetime supply of chocolate. What little kid wouldn't want that? And so the world went mad looking for the golden ticket. This is an Easter egg ticket, by the way. I don't know what happened to the Easter egg. But there was one boy who's different, Charlie Bucket. You might know the story. He was the winner. He's the one who, at the end of the story, ascends in the great glass elevator. The one who overcomes temptation. The one who enters every young boy's dream, not just to have a year's supply of chocolate, but to own a chocolate factory. Not just to witness this incredible chocolate, but also to actually participate in running it and owning it and being responsible for it. And right at the end, as they're ascending in the great glass elevator, Wonka, the owner of the chocolate factory, says, "You see, my dear boy, I have decided to make you a present of the whole factory. As soon as you're old enough to run it, the entire factory will become yours." Grandpa Joe says, "But why should you want to give a factory to little Charlie?" He says, "There are thousands of clever men who would give anything for the chance to come in and take over from me. But I don't want that sort of person. A grown-up won't listen to me. He won't learn. He will try to do things his own way and not mine." And Revelation 3:21 says this: "To the one who is victorious, I will give him the right to sit with me on my throne. Just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne." Did you hear that? This changes everything. "So the one who is victorious, I'll give him the right to sit with me on my throne." You see, the life of Jesus, we're shown how to live, how to do life. That's what the life of Jesus is about. The death of Jesus, Jesus deals with our sin, our guilt, our shame, and buries it. The resurrection of Jesus We receive new life and the ability to know God face to face. As if that's not enough. But the ascension, well, this changes everything. Get this. The original intended design is restored. We inherit the kingdom. I don't know if you kind of get that. It's as ridiculous as little Charlie receiving the rights to run Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. What a ridiculous thought to hand over your hard-earned factory with Oompa Loompas and whatever else they've got in there to a little boy. He says, come with me. In fact, you're not just going to be part of it. You're going to own it. You're going to eventually make decisions. You're going to take responsibility for it. That's God's call. Come with me. We're going to go on a little journey this morning. This is so exciting. I want you to see a glimpse of destiny in the Garden of Eden, right back in the beginning. In Genesis 1:28, God blessed them right there. Adam and Eve, God blesses them. And he said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Job number one, have kids. Just, you know, expand and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, over everything that moves on the earth, dominion. He gives people, humanity, men and women, dominion, which means rulership. Not to destroy, not to ruin, but to caretake, to look after, and to coordinate and arrange. It's like giving a little kid Lego blocks, have dominion over the Lego pit. And what do? They out of that, they build things. They construct houses and cars and dragons and spaceships. That's what it is. So God's given us a giant Lego pit and he says, go for it. It's yours. Have dominion over it. Build what you like. And that's been the story. We've built cities. We've built roads. We've built houses. We've built all kinds of crazy. We've gone into space. Like, humanity is incredible. We have done the most amazing things with the raw materials that God's given us. It's incredible, isn't it? God has given us dominion, authority to do that. It's our God-given right to do that. I don't see monkeys doing that. My dog certainly doesn't. He destroys things. But people, we have potential to destroy things. But we have created an incredible world. We really have. Amazing. But we let go of our destiny. When we try to rule our own world. You see, God's destiny was always for us to be ruling on behalf of God. You see? Put people in place, now you're responsible. But we take that back and say, well, actually, I'm going to shut God out of this. What does God know about the world anyway? It's only his. Well, what would he know about doing a job or raising kids or trying to do what I do in life? I'll just do it my own way. We fight for our little empires. We are given the factory, but we choose to steal chocolate. It's pathetic, really, isn't it? I want you to see this. I want to see the journey of how God has given us so much in the ascension. See, right at the end of Mark's gospel, it's just a little one-liner, and it's repeated in the start of Acts, but let me read it from Mark. Mark 16:19. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of God. So literally, Jesus' friends are with him and then he says, I'm out. His body ascends. In the beginning of Acts, it talks about that they watched him until a cloud disappears. His body, his physical body disappears into heaven. It's not a spirit. It's not some kind of weird, no, his actual body just off he goes. It's called the ascension. It's the final piece of the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. It's the important bit. Here's the words of a theologian, Baxter Kruger. At this very hour, a man sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. At this moment, a human being dwells and lives and abides inside the circle of all circles, inside everything that it means to be God, inside the very life and the fellowship of the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Can you see that? There is a man, a human being, ruling the Godhead. Am I messing with you? A person, a human being, skin and blood, is in the middle of the ruling of this universe. It's good news. That's incredible. There is no more stunning news in the universe than the news that a human being now exists in the Trinitarian life of God. It was not an angel or a ghost that Stephen saw, Acts 7, standing at the right hand of God in heaven. It was Jesus. It was the incarnate Son. What could be more astonishing than the news that the very communion of the triune God has opened himself up and now forever includes a human being with it? Do you see that? Of all the things we read about in the Bible, the most astonishing, the most shocking, the most mind-boggling is the ascension of the man, Jesus, the incarnate Son. This changes everything. There is a man, a human being, in the Holy of Holies, in the ruling of the chocolate factory. You see it? It's astonishing. There is a man on the throne, in the circle of power, ruling with absolute power. Paul sees this. This is right through the New Testament. Paul sees it in Ephesians. He says, "What is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand?" When he raised him above, 21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but the age to come. That's emphatic. Paul sees Jesus, the right hand, the seat of power, the right hand of God, the one who orchestrates and governs everything, is a human being, far above every other rule and power and authority. Jesus has the rulership of the universe. Absolute authority, absolute power. That's what the ascension did. It's astonishing. Could this have been the plan all along? Could this have been from the beginning, the idea that to include people into heaven? Could this have been God's grand design that he created all of us, beautiful people, with the idea that one day we would be with Jesus? We'll explore that in a minute. Yet there is something different about our ruler. You imagine giving any normal person absolute power over the universe? Can you imagine what might happen? Can you imagine? When we look at what Jesus gives us, there's something different going on with Jesus. He's not some dictator or some self-obsessed despot or some kind of crazy ruler. Even though he has absolute power and authority, absolute conviction, something different about our ruler. It's something very different. Here's four things that I see in the ascension through the scriptures. Four implications, four things of significance that the ascension brings us because Jesus is at the right hand of God in absolute authority. The first thing he does, guess what? He sends help. He sends help. Look at this in John 16, verse 7. When he's talking to his friends before he goes, they're worried. Jesus, where are you going? What's happening? How are we going to cope? He says, hang on, hold the bus. It's all right. He says, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. Verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he speaks, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. You see, when Jesus went up to heaven, the Holy Spirit, who was also God, he says, hey, your turn. He comes down at Pentecost. We'll talk about that later. but then starts to enter every believer into his heart as a personal guide. You imagine having a personal guide to life living inside of you? What could be more special when you're walking along and you're going, what should I do? Well, I can either decide on my own what I should do, or I could ask for guidance. And who could actually advise me? Maybe some teacher, some counselor, maybe some friend, maybe my mom. What about the creator of the universe? I wonder if he's got something to say about what I should do next. I wonder if he understands the difficulties I'm facing right now in my workplace. I wonder if he understands my wife or my kids. I mean, it's good. But sometimes, do you ever ask those questions? What should I do now? Could you imagine? I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Imagine having God living inside of you, speaking to you, guiding you. I mean, that's a crazy thought. But it's true. It's actually true. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Look at this. See, John 14. The Helper will come. Verse 13, He will guide you into all truth. Oh, that's phenomenal. You and I, if you know Jesus, the first thing He did was to send the Holy Spirit as a helper in life. Mate, this is incredible. If you've got any questions, if you need some advice, you're looking for a mentor, just pray. The Holy Spirit will help you. Number two, not only does He send the Holy Spirit from heaven, go, all right, go and help these people, they're going to need it. He intercedes for us. He prays for us. Look at this verse, Romans 8:34. Who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus, the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God. See it again? Who indeed is interceding for us, praying for us. Jesus in heaven praying to God the Father for us. Hello? Astonishing? What crazy authoritarian ruler does that? Isn't the ruler's job to order people around and boss people and don't do this and go and do that and go and... Not our ruler. The whole thing is upside down. He looks down, he goes, Ro, she needs help with her husband. I'm praying for her. Someone needs help with their kids, their work, their jobs, or just being human. Like, help that person. He's gone crazy, you know, he's trying to do everything. Jesus is constantly communicating, petitioning the Father on our behalf. Hey, he's quick, sort that out. Go. He's going to drop it. I mean, I don't know how God does it, but He's got His eye on the sparrow. Even a sparrow doesn't fall without His permission. He's got His eye on everything, and He knows what you're going through. And more than that, He's praying to God the Father to help. Quick, sort that out. They did this. Quick. I don't know how the operations of heaven work, but I believe it. I believe that He's in heaven interceding for us. Not only has He sent a helper every day, guidance, counseling, but He's also praying to God the Father. This is because of the ascension. It's incredible. Number three, He's returning. He's returning. Thank you, Anna. I'm with you. He's sending help. He's interceding. He has promised to come back. Look at this verse, John 14. He says again to His friends who are freaking out. He says, in My Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back again and I'll take you to Myself, that where I am, you may be also. What a beautiful promise. I remember sharing this verse with my mum in the final days of her life with cancer. Such a joy, such a rich time. And we're sharing this verse of how very soon one of those rooms will be occupied by her. Father's house is many rooms. There is a room for every single person here, every single person on the planet. God is preparing a place, whether they check in or not. God has an expansive, expansive place. He has a home for us. If you haven't found a home here and on earth, there's a home for you in heaven. If life is difficult and struggles and trials at home, there is a home in heaven that far surpasses any home right here. Because he says, I'll take you to myself. A home is actually in him. Phenomenal. He's coming back. He's coming back. As if that's not enough. As if this absolute ruler sends us help, intercedes for us, promises to come back and prepare a place for us. I mean, what ruler does that? What genuine king or queen or president or prime minister? This is real leadership, servant leadership. This is the one that blows my mind. It's including. He's sending, he's interceding, he's returning, and he's including. Watch this. John 17, probably one of the richest scriptures in the whole Bible. Jesus, again, is talking to his friends, but now he's praying. He says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Listen, Jesus is praying just before he gets killed. He's not only praying for the people who are currently on earth, his friends. He's also praying for us. That's us, you see, for those who will believe in me through their word, the word of the apostles. He says, I'm praying for these people. Why? That they may be one. Watch this. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. He says, like, we are one. Not just Father, Son. No, we're actually one. One being. That they also may be in us. See that? Jesus is saying, I want this unity, this oneness that we have, that they may also be in us. In us. Not subjects, not kind of servants, not even sons or daughters, in us, part of us. Now, nothing on earth compares to this. We have kids, right? We have marriage. It's not enough. It doesn't come close enough to that sense that God is bringing us into him, into him. He says in verse 23, he says, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfectly one. That's astonishing. Your destiny is not just to be in heaven, is to be in God. In, within the Godhead. Come on, look at this. As Jesus has been raised from the dead to be at the right hand of God the Father, and we are invited into that place, where do we sit? At the right hand of God. It's not just Jesus at the right hand of God. It's not just him that's ascended. There's a person which is incredible, a human being at the right hand of God. Actually, we are in that place because we are now one with Christ. You with me? Creation restored. The original plan of the garden, where we have dominion over. And we lost it. We threw it away. We went our own path. We said, I'll do it my way, thank you. Nothing changes God's plan. In fact, this plan is more elaborate. Where we were given dominion over the world, now we have dominion over the cosmos, everything. Creation, angels, demons, the universe. This changes everything. Can you see what sort of man Jesus is? Can you see what sort of ruler he is? Can you see how extravagant his love is? Not just to forgive us, not just to cleanse us, which is amazing, not just to kind of make it, you know, we can talk to him now. That's incredible, by the way. To be one with him shifts it. It's a wild thought that we're spending ages trying to unpack, you know. But I tell you, your rightful place because of Christ's ascension is in Christ, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Wild. Wild. So what do we do with our place of authority? Well, let's just look after ourselves, hey? No. We're going to do exactly the same thing as Jesus. We're going to include people. We're going to come back and help people. We're going to do whatever we can to help people. There's a real servant-heartedness that we've got about Jesus because that's how he loves. He shows us how to love. He takes us to a place of authority so that we can love and bless others. I tell you, our place has been restored. Let's get the musos up here before we finish off. This changes everything. Do you want to know the end of the story? Don't spoil it. But Mr. Wonka, stammered Grandpa Joe, do you really and truly mean that you're going to give the whole of this enormous factory to little Charlie? There's no time for arguments, said Mr. Wonka. We must go at once and fetch the rest of the family. Charlie's father and his mother and anyone else that's around, they can all live in the factory from now on. They can all help to run it until Charlie's old enough to do it by himself. Where do you live, Charlie? Charlie peered down the glass floor at the snow-covered houses that lay below. It's over there, he said, pointing. It's the little cottage right on the edge of town. The tiny, the little one. I see it, cried Wonka. And he pressed some more buttons and the lift shot down towards Charlie's house. I'm afraid my mother won't come with us, Charlie said sadly. Why ever not? Because she won't leave Grandpa Joe. And Grandma Josephine and Grandpa George. But they must come too. They can't, Charlie said. They're very old. They haven't been out of bed for 20 years. Then we'll take the bed as well, said Mr. Wonka. There's plenty of room in this bed, in this lift for a bed. You couldn't get that bed out of the house, said Grandpa Joe. It won't go through the door. You mustn't despair, cried Mr. Wonka. Nothing is impossible. You watch. The lift was now hovering over the roof of the Bucket's little house. What are you going to do? Cried Charlie. I'm going in to fetch them, said Wonka. How? Through the roof, he says. No, said Charlie. Stop, said Grandpa Joe. Crash went the lift, right down through the roof of the house, into the old people's bedroom. Showers of dust and broken tiles and bits of wood and cockroaches and spiders and bricks. Cement went raining down on the three old people lying there. Save us, cried Grandma Josephine. Calm yourself, my darling wife. It's only us. Mother, cried Charlie, rushing into Mrs. Bucket's arms. Mother, listen to what's happened. We're all going to live in Mr. Wonka's factory. We're going to help him to run it. And he's given it to me and to you and to all of us. What are you talking about? Cried Mrs. Bucket. Just look at our house, cried poor Mr. Bucket. It's in ruins. My dear sir, said Mr. Wonka, jumping forward and shaking Mr. Bucket warmly. I'm so very glad to meet you. You mustn't worry about your house. From now on, you're never going to need it again. Anyway. There's a ticket. A ticket. It's an invitation. Not just into a good life. Not just into peace, security, all those things we long for. It's a ticket into the Godhead, the ruling of the universe. Why wouldn't you want it? blessings of heaven, the elevation of humanity with Jesus. We're just scratching the surface. Would you close your eyes? Pray with me. Jesus, help us to grab hold of all these promises. Grab hold of the truth of the ascension. Grab hold of the implications of the ascension. Grab hold of the way that you send help, the way that you intercede for us, the way that you're coming back, but the way that you include us into the running of the universe. It's beyond our wildest dreams. Jesus, we're so grateful. Help us to grab it. Help us to live in the ascension power for the sake of others. And maybe you're here this morning and you've heard that there's a ticket. You haven't received it yet. You haven't opened this chocolate. You don't know what's inside it until you do. Does anybody want this? Ticket to freedom. Ticket to ruling. Ticket to incredible blessing. Tickets to hard work. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, reach out and grab that ticket. Claim it. Because He wants you as part of His kingdom, ruling and reigning with Christ. Is there anyone who needs that this morning? Just slip your hand up. I'm not going to give you this ticket. Straight from Jesus. Anyone?
Thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.